This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Talking your ears off has become the theme here. Yeah, in our,
I got to stop talking, first of all. Because of a weekend.
How's the throat?
The throat is fine. The voice left again, but that was not... Well, I had to. Look, Friday, just take a little sidebar here. Army was in. My son with West Point were in to play Niagara in the second round of the Atlantic Hockey Association playoffs. Friday night, they went to double OT. So I made my way back from trade deadline Toronto, stopped in Niagara, second intermission. I saw the third period, the first OT, and almost they scored with like 4 minutes left. So I went second OT. Saturday, they played. They lost 4-3 to Niagara. We were in studio. So yesterday, 5 o'clock was game three. It's the best out of three. Sure enough, they went to OT again, and Army scored in OT on the power play early in the first overtime. So Army moves on, but, I mean, I'm screaming my you know, voice off and just yelling and cheering on the team. And so, yeah, I felt the effect of it a little bit.
Well, I'm thrilled that we're back at it here, even in limited capacity for the first few days of this week without game action for us. No MSG games on Monday, which is tonight. Nothing on Wednesday either.
I'll rest my voice tonight. How about that?
Famous last words. So we talked a lot because Josh Norris was with us in the first half hour of the show just about where he's fitting in right now.
Yes.
We've got endless time to get into further projections, and obviously off-season change will impact our discussions and things of that nature. But what we have seen in the last couple of games, and it continues tonight without having Dahlin and Byram together, is just trying to make sense of the group of six on the blue line. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing, like, obviously the Sabres have lost six in a row, and they've given up almost 5 goals per game over those six. Yeah. So this is a collective, obviously, but this area of six and these pairings are of paramount importance. Are they not moving forward?
They are. And, I mean, we have talked a lot over the last few years, outscoring your problems, right? And if you can, like 2 years ago, outscore your problems, then maybe you're not focused as much as, you know, we have been of late of the amount of goals that the Sabres have given up. You're playing the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win if you're not really strong defensively. And against the Oilers, a lot of their plays are off the rush. So maybe that fits in a little bit better the Sabres. The problem the Sabres right now is not off the rush. It's around your net. Like, everything that's around the net. And, you know, last game in Florida, two of the goals were literally pucks in the crease.
Yes.
A.J. Greer, Anton Lundell. Mm-hmm. It's pucks that are in the crease. You've got to be tough around the front of your net. And I'm not even going to say the centerman that's down low has got to help. It's on the defense. It's on the players that are there. Have to be tough in front of the net. That is what it comes down to. The first goal, really, you look at A.J. Greer's there. The puck goes through Luukkonen, but, you know, Sammy got pushed off. Get in there. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play with Dahlin, mm-hmm. if you're going to be the guy that maybe Lindelof is in, let's put Samuelson with Dahlin, because Dahlin and Byram were working good, but maybe we're trying something different. Well, if you're Samuelson and you get that opportunity, it's not about offense. It's not about moving the puck. It's about being strong in front of your net. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to worry about.
So what do you think is at the root of the change right now by moving away from Dahlin and Byram? Is it because and Joki Haru and Gilbert are no longer in the group of six, and Samuelson has still played fewer minutes than they would have liked mm-hmm. this year? Is it more trying to, like, is it more that they know what they have in 26-4? So they want to try to figure out the rest of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because the way that I look at it is...
I guess what I'm saying is they could start next year with 26-4 and know exactly what they're getting.
Yes. Right now I feel like the Sabres are trying to see how can we get three pairs of defense that we can throw out there and not have Dahlin and Byram 26 minutes.
Right.
Maybe we're Dahlin and Byram 23 minutes and then you have another pair 21, another pair 18, and then you're like, okay, we're working that way. Mm. Bernard Docker is a right-handed shot. Bernard Docker.
So this is a very critical point in all of this, because with his visa challenges at the moment, he's still not a part of this, so you're not getting a true representation of what they have.
I think when I look at it, so you're trying Samuelson, Dahlin together, trying Byram, Bryson together, and you'd probably have power Bernard Docker, if that's how I'm picturing it. So, because... you need a right-handed shot to play with Owen Power. Owen Power has played with Samuelson this year, played with Byram this year. I just don't feel like two lefties when Owen Power is on the ice is working. Mm-hmm. Two lefties when Dahlin is on the ice has been fine, or Byram on the ice together, they've worked out fine. But with Power, it has not worked as well. So is Bernard Docker the guy that can come in and stabilized Owen Power from the right side? Right now, they got Connor Clifton playing with Power, but mm-hmm. I don't really see that fit for next year. So you're trying different pairings. I would like to see, if you're going to tell me right now, what do you think your top four would look with the players you have? I would say Dahlin, Byram, Power, Bernard Docker. But Bernard Docker is not a offensive defenseman. It's not a puck mover.
No, but isn't that good to have him with
exactly.
Power?
Yeah. It would be just, you're strictly the guy that's going to play with Power and say, I've got you. I'm going to be the guy back. I'm never going to pinch. I'm never going to join the rush. I'm just going to have the defensive side of the game. And maybe that would help Owen Power as we go. But Owen Power's got to take ownership in his game. Mm-hmm. He's got to be stronger. He's got to be quicker. There's a lot that he has to do. And, you know, sometimes your first couple, three seasons, well, there's some highs and some lows.
You have Ryan Johnson as well, I think, has to be considered if you're projecting into next year, because not only have the Amerks performed well, but there's a belief, from my understanding, that he is doing everything expected and then some at the American Hockey League level. Now, again, we know it's a big jump, but he has played, I would still say, a fair number of NHL minutes. And then, because we are so closely removed from the trade deadline, and how we often talk about conversations that happened then that could lead to something further down the road, that's why I have this intrigue with the group of six, because if the hockey department thinks we have an opportunity to make another big hockey deal in the summer involving one of our defensemen, then why don't we try other stuff, knowing we have yet to use Bernard Docker, we haven't had Ryan Johnson in, and to a much lesser extent, I'll say, you have some younger blue lines
Blue liners, Novikov.
And Komarov are the ones of intrigue, yes. Right? But they're probably not quite knocking on the door just yet.
But
I just think all
away.
Of this has to be discussed right now.
When
you're having an honest evaluation of this group of six.
And if you're in the meetings with general manager Kevin Adams, you have to look at your contracts and what does that look like in 2 years. Now, I can guarantee you this, Kevin Adams is not having conversations right now saying, what is our team going to be looking like in 2 years every day? But he may be having one of those conversations just to kind of set up. It's all about game one next year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Look, if you say next year, you have Dallin, Byram, you know, do you have Owen Power? Okay, let's say you go and you build with those three.
Mm-hmm.
What is the rest of the group looking like? Bernard Docker just got added. He's going to play 15, 18 games from now till the end of the year, depending on when his visa gets figured out and he joins the team. They only have 20 games left. But, okay, is he going to be part of this group? I like the idea of saying you need younger, new bodies into the lineup. But Ryan Johnson coming in, to me, would be a nice step for him to walk in. But he's not going to move the needle and saying, we're much better defensively, we're stronger. You need other pieces. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, comes from unrestricted free agency or trades at the draft. That's where the focus is at.
Yeah, I would agree. And tonight, the expectation is Samuelson, Dallin, Byram Bryson, Power, and Clifton up against an Oilers team that scores 3.25 goals per game. Leon Draisaitl trying to chase down an Art Ross, along with him being in the favorite position right now for the Rocket Richard. He's sitting on 46 goals. The Oilers are top 10 in offense, just like Florida was on Saturday night in their 4-0 win over Buffalo. Incredibly, for all the...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Concern, shall we say, that is vented towards the Oilers and their challenges between the pipes. The Oilers are 13th in goals against. It's not unlike last year when Buffalo ended their season and all the talking points for this, that, and the other, and I'm like, you realize they ended up tied for 11th in goals against last year. Like, it wasn't that big of... Now they're 30th, Marty. The Sabres only Pittsburgh and San Jose have a worse goals against average right now.
No, and look, the little slide here of late has put Ukko Pekka Luukkonen in what is an NHL 500, 20-20-4.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like when you think of it in a goaltender way, you won 20 and lost 24. He was at least on the positive side of that for a little while, and then it's dropped. Save percentage dropped to 890. 890 is not where you want it to be. Look. You talk about the Oilers being, what, 13th mm-hmm. in goals against?
Yep.
They have Calvin Pickard at 896 and Stuart Skinner, which we likely will see tonight, mm-hmm. at 897. James Reimer's at 895.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically James Reimer numbers are being played with the Edmonton Oilers right now. But this is a team that I think has the puck a lot more. They don't give up as many shots. Their goaltending's just been very inconsistent. So both goalies under 900 right now is not helping it.
Sabres, Oilers, tonight is one of four games.
Yeah, light night.
Chicago, Colorado, the Avalanche have won 5 in a row. Detroit, Ottawa, massive wild card implications in the East. Ottawa currently in a spot. Detroit is in a tough spot, having lost 5 in a row. Their saving grace is that despite all 5 losses being in regulation, they really haven't lost much ground, and that's almost a miracle at this point. So they have to get after it in Ottawa. Senators, of course, coming off an overtime win against the Rangers. Toronto is at Utah, and let's not sleep on the hockey club. They're 7-3-1 in the last 11. They're 4 points out of a wild card in the West, so massive game for them against this Toronto team. So...
Toronto just come back from losing in Colorado.
In devastating fashion based on how they were in position to win, you know, going into the third period, and then it just all, the roof caved in on them defensively. But I do want to say, you know, in this Eastern Conference wild card race, and we talk of Ottawa, we talk of Detroit, and the Rangers and Columbus played last night. And, again, these are things where you just, it's hard to compare with that, when you don't see every single game in its entirety. But for all that we've said about Columbus this year, I don't know if they've ever in the short term been put in their place, faced as much adversity as they would have in the second period, taking a 3-1 lead on a power play about to go up 4-1 potentially. They gave up two shorthanded goals in less than a minute. And all of a sudden, the game's 3-3, and you're going, are you kidding me? And they end up winning the game 7-3.
Yes.
And I was like, Adam Fantilli, another hat trick. Balance across the board. Recovery moments from those who were kind of responsible for giving up the shorthanded goals. And, of course, at the end of the day, their goaltending was way better than what the Rangers got from John Quick, and they were terrible defensively in front of them, too. But what a massive game for Columbus to hold their spot, wildcard one, in the East.
What a massive missed opportunity for the Rangers, because you look at Columbus. So according to Tankathon.com, the Columbus Blue Jackets have the seventh toughest schedule remaining in the National Hockey League when you look at strength of schedules. Buffalo actually has the second toughest schedule remaining. But
well, part of that, I mean, I would think part of that is something we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that is compression of schedule. Remember, they were entering into a stretch where they're, but it's also
they have
opponent-based.
They have Vegas, Florida, Toronto, Carolina. They have a lot of strong opponents.
Yes.
But Columbus had the Rangers last night. They have New Jersey, Vegas, and then the Rangers in New Jersey again. Mm-hmm. That five-game segment is pivotal for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Only 4 points behind the Devils.
They could catch
the Devils got
Devils.
A big win yesterday, but
they
yeah.
could put some separation between themselves and the Rangers, knowing that Columbus is going to have a really strong schedule. They have Dallas remaining. They have the Oilers. They have some tough matchups coming up. So, yeah, Columbus needed that win, and Fantilli with a hat trick again. Just amazing how they're going to get Moynihan back. They're going to get Boone Jenner back. It's going to be...
Well, Jenner's been back.
Jenner's been back. But I talked to Jean-Luc Grandpierre. He was saying he wasn't sure if he was going to play last night, but he played.
That I don't know. But he had come back. So you can double check on that. But the fact of the matter is, Werenski continues to be the catalyst. And last night, Fantilli with his second hat trick of the year. Best and worst, it's kind of Marty's thing from the weekend. We'll have that when we
Boone
come back.
Jenner did play last night.
Thank you. Sabres teaming up with Bald for Bucks. Donate 50 or more and dollars, that is, and receive a Bald for Bucks t-shirt. You can learn more about this at sabres.com/baldforbucks. It's a Marty and Dan thing, and we are grateful to be partnering with Roswell Park once again on this. So, that being said, best and worst of the weekend coming up after this on Sabres Live.